Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the milkpacking district, in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Dawn Taylor, who is, even now, as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A man is injured in Tualatin in a barn fire. The launch of the Endeavour shuttle has been delayed. And an attorney sues after spending almost $19,000 at a Florida strip club.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, prepare yourselves and your loved ones. For the love of God, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Friday, April 29th, 2011. A man was injured while trying to save a boat from a barn fire on Thursday. Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue Crews got to the barn on Southwest 60.
Tualatin what?
Rescue Crews.
Uh-huh.
It's not easy to say.
Okay.
Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue Crews. They got to the barn on Southwest 65th Avenue just before 8 p.m., and they called for a second alarm when they realized the rural area had a lack of water to fight the blaze. Several vehicles were found burning inside, including boats, vans, and cars, which fueled the flames. A fire department spokesman said the vehicles are business-related, and the owner of the property suffered minor injuries while trying to save one of the boats. The barn was destroyed by the fire. Investigators are working to figure out the cause of the blaze. People did report seeing the smoke plume from miles away, including drivers on I-5 and I-205. I actually live in Tualatin, and I didn't see it.
Were you endangered any time?
I don't believe so.
Well, then the story doesn't interest me at all.
No, no. Well, thank you. I'm glad you would care if I was, though.
Yes. No, that's, if it doesn't affect me or my livelihood at all, then really it's a non-issue. Not even on my radar.
A Kaiser neighborhood is up in arms over a sign that a man put in his front window. Alex White, 33, was angry at his neighbor who called the police on his family Easter Sunday. White and his wife were having problems with her son, who suffers from manic bipolar depression and was having emotional outbursts. Alex White says, "We weren't mad at each other," him speaking of their family. "We were mad at the situation. Police were called and they banged on our door." No charges were filed, but it was enough to annoy Mr. White, who constructed a sign that read, "To the neighbor who called police on Easter, F yourself." And put it, hung it up in the front of his house.
Okay, so this isn't like, for a minute I thought this was like a billboard that he rented from Clear Channel or something. And I was actually going to applaud Clear Channel for just, for taking such a broad stance toward what was permissible speech.
I know this is just a big old sign that this guy built and put, I guess, on his front lawn.
It's just a thing he scrawled.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he's a carpenter, so it was probably a very well-constructed sign.
I don't understand. What is the nature of his complaint?
He was angry. Well, he and his wife were trying to wrestle with the bipolar son.
Oh, he's not the neighbor. He is the owner of the son.
Right.
Okay, so it's like this. So it's his kid.
Yeah.
And they're trying to corral him because the kid's bonkers.
Yeah, the kid's screaming and putting up a ruckus, right, as the folks say.
Causing a fit.
And so somebody, I guess, had called the police, and the police came. So he put a sign saying to the neighbor who called police on Easter,
F yourself. All right. Okay.
He said he would take the sign down when the neighbor apologizes, and he said that happened Thursday night. The neighbor came over and apologized, and apparently he's planning a weekend barbecue for the neighborhood.
Well, I hope somebody doesn't fall into a grill by mistake. I hope somebody's pants aren't set on fire. That'd be a shame.
I hope the child is well medicated at the barbecue.
Seriously.
So that this doesn't happen again.
I hope your house isn't burgled while you're out of town next time. It'd be a shame if nobody called the police. I'm just saying.
President Barack Obama.
Who?
Barack Obama.
I don't think I've heard of him.
President Barack Sasquatch, maybe born in Kenya, Barama.
Oh, that
Obama.
Guy. Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Toured Tornado.
You say Tornado.
He toured tornado damage Friday in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. The president says the federal government...
Tuscaloosa is really a place?
Yeah. It is. Yeah. So is Okefenokee.
I thought it was just a thing that existed for me to make fun of. I mean, linguistically.
Well, it does.
I mean, it's, you know, just in terms of...
No, more than linguistically, it is purely there to be made fun of.
Okay.
Well, but not right now, though, because people died.
Okay.
Now we like them. The president says the federal government will pitch in to assist those devastated by this week's storm.
Is this Obama 1?
It is.
Yes. And
I want to just make a commitment to the communities here that we are going to do everything we can to help these communities rebuild.
Oh, and by the way, please notice I'm not George Bush. I actually showed up.
I'm here. I was able to find your place without any difficulty at all.
I didn't just fly over and look out the window. I actually came down and landed and talked to you. The president says he's never seen devastation like this.
What you're seeing here is the consequence of just a few minutes of this extraordinarily powerful storm sweeping through this community.
Now, is this one of those things where, and I'm not trying to downplay the loss of life or the damage and the whatever, but is this tornado season or this cluster of tornadoes or whatever it is? Is it a horde of tornadoes? Is it demonstrably worse than in recent years, or is it just one of those things where we've decided, is this like that summer a few years back where we decided everybody was being attacked by sharks?
No, it is worse, mainly because there are so many of them. There have been like something like twice as many tornadoes this April as there were last year.
So it's not just that we're in tornado season and we've fixated on it. There are actually more tornadoes happening than is usual.
Yeah, we've had a record number of tornadoes in April. And as mentioned before when we discussed this last time, actually the biggest month for tornadoes is May. So it's everyone sort of, you know, crossing their fingers to wait actually to see what happens next month. New surveys have shown that more teenagers than ever are tanning in a salon, but new health studies have indicated that the risks may be worse than previously known. Teens under 18 years of age already need parental permission to use tanning salons. Minors under 14 are banned. But California lawmakers will soon vote on whether minors should be prevented from tanning at all. Senator Ted W. Lieu, a Democrat from Torrance, sponsored Senate Bill 746, which goes up for a vote Thursday, which would have been yesterday, after global health officials raised the alarm about too much exposure to ultraviolet rays. He said the World Health Organization in 2009 elevated tanning beds to a level 1 carcinogen. We simply believe parents should not be able to consent for their children to go ahead and have this damage done to their skin. The bill would be comparable to banning teens from drinking or smoking, regardless of parental permission. Workers at Planet Beach, one of Sacramento's 41 tanning salons, were not happy to learn about the proposal and called the measure another example of government overreach in personal lives. Sue Dickman of the tanning salon said,
"Yeah,
I think it's government trying to take control of somebody's life in all aspects. It's just another way of grabbing on."
Okay. Well, we need tanning parlors because otherwise we're never going to know who the trashy chicks are. I mean, you've got to have fake tanning because otherwise you'll never know how to identify the sluts.
You know, first they came for my neighbor's tanning bed and I said nothing. Then they came for my tanning bed. And it was too late.
If you really have to be told that just saturating yourself with radiation is a bad idea, then, I mean, really, no. You know, I don't really care if you're around or not.
Well, as someone with very, very, like,
alabaster,
porcelain, white, ghostly, pale skin, who grew up in a Southern California beach community, I can tell you that I saw a lot of my friends in high school develop the backs of their hands looked like those of 80-year-old women.
Yeah, no, you get the full on, you get the wrinkle hand.
Yeah,
and then the occasionally you would get the chick who just decided that she wasn't going to go to the tanning booth anymore. She would just do that, like, the rub on tan, which just makes you look like Captain Carrot. Because here's the thing, like, the palms of your hands aren't supposed to be orange, sister. I mean, really, none of you are supposed to be orange, but especially the palms of your hands.
Oh, I believe me, and in my teen years, I attempted all of that stuff because, again, even if I could do the same amount of time in the sun as everyone else, and I would always be, like, 20 shades lighter, because apparently I lack actual melanin.
Well, as somebody once noted, it is odd that Americans spend, you know, like, $350 billion a year, and these are all white people, of course, trying to be black. And, I mean, here's the thing, Whitey. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. You're not going to be cooler. You're not going to have any more soul. You're not going to have any more funk to your body at all. You're just going to look terrible.
I think it's really, what I think is on a sort of a fundamental lizard brain sort of a basis, it's that desire to look like you're actually going outside and doing things that are healthy, when in reality you're inside playing on your Xbox all the time or sitting in an office staring at a computer. So I think it's sort of a camouflage thing. It's a way of fooling people into believing you're actually hardier than you actually are.
I think I speak for a lot of men, too, when I just say that really, just in terms of female aesthetic, I mean, if the thing is to try to look more attractive, I'd say that there's really there's the two ends of the spectrum here. It really is a bell curve. That at one end, you got pale chicks who are hot. You know, chicks with
this. Why, thank you.
Full-on ivory skin. I mean, if I can basically just see your internal organs, I mean, that's... I'm a huge fan of that. Rick Emerson gives that a big thumbs up. Rick Emerson likes this. You know, also, and then if you got like the great bronze or, you know, like brown or olive skin, also great. Mm. If you're some white chick who's just been, you know, who's trying to get tan up, it just looks bad. Because your eye, it's like, you know what it is? It's like badly done 3D. Your eye registers that something's not right there. I'm being lied to in some way.
The difference being that there are people who actually do things outdoors and get natural tans.
But that's a natural tan.
Yeah,
that's
and that can actually look really, really good. But the tanning bed tan / spray on tan, it's like you can tell. It's like eating a tofu hot dog. It's similar to the real thing, but you just know that it's just wrong.
No, seeing the fake tan is like seeing the chick with the fake boobs. And you kind of go, wait a minute. Now, she seems attractive, but meanwhile, there's like an alarm down in like the substrate of your brain going, Googa, something's wrong. By the way, somebody, I'm not going to start into the whole thing. You're forbidden to respond to this. You're forbidden to comment because I don't want to get us onto a thing.
All right.
So somebody who fancies himself amusing and contrarian says, Don, instead of saying Sasquatch, why don't you just go ahead and drop the N-bomb? Here's the thing. I don't know the last time you took a look at Sasquatch. He's white. And you're dumb. All right, here's Don Taylor, the news desk.
Hundreds of frogs were seen jumping across a New Brunswick highway Tuesday night in New Jersey between the towns of Maugerville and Jemseg.
Is this land under the control of Sauerman?
Maybe it's not New Brunswick, New Jersey, because honestly...
New Brunswick, Calcutta?
Yeah. One driver called it a scene...
Where are the towns?
Well, it's in New Brunswick. Now, I know that there's a New Brunswick in... This is in Canada.
There's
I'm sorry.
A Brunswick, New Jersey. I don't think there's a New Brunswick.
No, this is in Canada. Okay. I'm being foolish.
And it's at the town of Megalglegan.
It was between the towns of Maugerville and Jemseg.
Okay.
One driver, a Canadian driver, no doubt, called it a scene of biblical proportions. The highway borders the St. John River in Sheffield and was littered with frogs and body parts. Scavengers like raccoons and crows likely picked up the rest of the frog remains overnight and on Wednesday morning. A local resident named Bert Mahoney, which is a great name.
Seriously.
Said he's seen a lot of frogs on the highway in past years.
Mahoney's seen a lot of things in his life.
The lucky ones make it and some of them don't, eh? Anyway, he didn't really say it. Anyway, it's too bad. So sad for the ones that don't. They do.
Is he talking about frogs or people here?
Talking about frogs.
Okay, the frogs.
So they cross back and forth to go into the ponds at the back of the house there. They put on quite a show at night as far as chorus-wise goes.
Okay, maybe it's a Canadian thing. Yeah. Maybe the language is still getting there.
Zoologist Don McAlpine said the frogs, which he identifies as leopard frogs, were moving to breeding grounds from where they'd hibernated in river mud over the winter. Frogs like to move on rainy nights. They have very permeable skins, so they dry out quite easily on rainy nights. Those are the nights they tend to move in large numbers. That highway probably shouldn't have gone through that wetland in the first place.
No. What was the phrase at the beginning? A litter of frogs? Littered with frogs?
It was littered with frogs. Littered Hundreds with of frogs. Frogs were jumping across, and then the road was littered with frogs, dead frogs and body parts from Excellent. The ones that got squished by trucks and stuff.
Fantastic.
The zoologist guy said there is a way to prevent the road deaths of frogs.
A frog bridge.
Toad tunnels.
Okay.
Can
see?
Be built under roadways.
Okay, give me. I almost had it with frog bridge.
Right.
Okay.
It was just the opposite of a frog
toad
bridge.
Tunnel.
A toad tunnel. Often put with barrier nets put in place to direct frogs and other animals like toads and salamanders to the tunnels. They says they haven't been tried in the Maritimes, but they do exist in other parts of the world.
Right. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Friday, April 29th, 2011. If you want to get this program later on today, you can do it via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or legionofnews.com. It is Cascadia.fm or legionofnews.com. And you can take it with you on your mobile device if you like. That's mobile.cascadia.fm. Mobile.cascadia.fm. Coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com, we got a Penis Watch, Clown Watch, Hick Watch. Also, Mr. Big Jim Willig will be in the studio for another installment of Humor Me, Comedy 101. Today, talking about the life, work, and legacy of Ms. Tracy Ullman. So that is next hour at rickemersonshow.com, or you can listen and be amused for the low, low cost of just 32 cents a day. A cost that is so minuscule, so insignificant, it is mind-boggling.
And yet pirates will pay it.
Exactly. All right.
The TriMet Board will accept public comment through May 20th before a May 25th board vote to raise fares. The TriMet fare increases include 5 cents for an adult, a 2-hour ticket, $4 for adult monthly passes, and $1 for monthly youth passes. Although the fixed route cash fares would remain unchanged, if passed, the increase in fares would take place September 1st. Currently, an all-zone 2-hour ticket is $2.35, and a 2-zone ticket is $2.05. The adult monthly pass is $88. The youth pass is $26. The agency said the increase will help offset the additional cost of providing service and rising diesel prices, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It does seem like a lot, although it's still cheaper. I guess it's still cheaper than having a car.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you just have some dirt cheap car because, with the price of gas and the whatever. I mean, I guess it is still less expensive. It does seem like it's pretty goddamn pricey though, and I'm not faulting TriMet for that. I mean, that really is the fault of the county government and the state, I would imagine, because that thing ought to be self-sufficient by now. I mean, the state ought to be able to pay for that themselves. That ought to be. I mean, apart from fares, right. I mean, the fares themselves should rise no faster than the cost of living and the cost of it and the inflation rate, I think, but yet they do. So.
Yeah, I mean. If you're commuting to work every day and taking the bus, I would say, and taking TriMet, I would say an $88 pass is not bad if you're using that instead of your car, and particularly if you don't have to park downtown or wherever it is you work. On the other hand, though, if I just got to take the bus someplace, $2.35.
Well, that
seems like a lot of money for one bus ride.
Well, but that is consistent with the way they do it across the country. Because, like, if you were, when I was in,
as you can tell, I don't ride the bus, so I sound like a fool.
When I was in New York last month, it's like you go and you get the Metro Pass, which is the thing that allows you to ride the subway, and it's the same thing. You can get an unlimited Metro Pass. It'll let you ride the subway. You know, anytime, back and forth, day and night, you know, for like, I think it's for a week. I think it's for a full 7 days. And that is, I don't know, I think that's like $18 or something. Whereas a single trip one way on the subway is like $3.50. So that is the thing where it's just the buying in bulk. You know, if you just buy one of something, it's like let me put it in your terms, Don. It's like buying a single serve cigarette.
I don't smoke anymore.
I'm just saying, but you were a smoker.
Yeah.
You know, you go to the 7-Eleven or whatever, there's the guy, and he's just, you know.
And I've never purchased a single-serve cigarette.
But you've seen them, though,
but
right? And you go, how much
for
the cigarette? 75 cent. And you're like, okay, but the pack is, how much? 75 cent. You go, okay, no, all right, whatever.
Hmm.
That's if you're the guy in Falling Down with Michael Douglas.
Yes.
Did you know the cigarettes are $12 a pack in New York?
I'm not surprised.
Jesus Christ almighty.
I know.
Am I ever glad that I didn't start something?
When I was in Canada, that was the first time I saw cigarettes that were really, really pricey. And it was interesting. I went to a club to see a friend's band play. And there was that whole culture that I remember from the movies, but I had never really seen myself here, of people, like, you know, opening up like a cigarette case.
Yeah.
You know, as if it was a treasured possession. And then, like, doing someone the honor of offering them a cigarette. You know, it wasn't like, hey, can I bum one of those? It was like, would you like one of my cigarettes?
Yeah, no, that's the time. I think the time when those were such a cheap commodity that you would just, you know, the guys would just be sharing them willy-nilly left and right. I think that time has passed.
Yeah.
It's, I think it's less like weed and more like cocaine now, where if you're really going to share that with somebody, it indicates that they are important to you in some way.
I am doing you the honor of allowing you to pollute your lungs with this tobacco. Meanwhile, in sort of a related story, the average price of a gallon of gasoline has reached the $3.90 mark in the U.S., according to AAA. Spokeswoman Nancy White doesn't think gas prices will cause many folks to cancel summer vacation plans, but believes it will force them to cut costs elsewhere.
I want to just make a commitment.
That's not somebody named Nancy at all. Well, let me try that.
They may
there
eat
go.
Out less. They may shorten their trips by a day or two. They may stay with relatives instead of in a hotel.
I may not be a real person. I may be a computer-generated voice that sounds vaguely human.
White says many drivers are already paying more than this.
The issue is for those of us, particularly in the D.C. and in some of the larger cities, where we're averaging more than $4 a gallon.
Now, this isn't the same woman that we talked to from the AAA when we were doing the Bob Miller thing.
No, I don't think so. The woman we talked to was much much cheerier than that.
Listen to the way she says particularly.
The issue is for those of us, particularly in the D.C. and in...
She's like adding another E and an L in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Listen to this first. Doesn't she sound like a robot?
They may eat out less. They may shorten their trips by a day or two. They may stay with relatives instead of in a hotel.
Okay. All right. That's awesome. Okay. Fantastic. Okay. Hello, Don.
Hi.
Okay.
An attorney who specializes in drunken driving offenses is suing a Florida strip club, claiming it got him so drunk he spent almost $19,000 on his credit card. Mark S. Gold, reportedly suing the Gold Rush Strip Club in Miami-Dade County Court, saying he became temporarily unconscious during a drunken night at the club in November 2010 and racked up $18,930 in charges. The lawsuit alleged that Goldrush knowingly and continuously served plaintiff alcoholic beverages to the extent that he was rendered intoxicated, partially or temporarily unconscious, and further to the extent that he had a complete loss of judgment, rational thought, or ability to enter into lawful contracts or agreements. The allegations reportedly say the club knowingly caused plaintiff's irrational state of mind, continued to ply him with liquor in order to charge his credit card excessive amounts to the amount of $18,930. The lawsuit, filed April 18th, makes no mention of how much drinks or services the 56-year-old Gold may have bought. Gold is demanding the club's owner, Turntable Entertainment and Production Company, refund him his money.
Well, on the one hand, you got to figure that, I mean, it is, it's just, you know, if you're going in and you're just going to let them just pour a booze down your throat, you got to figure that the upshot of that is you're going to be drunk. I mean, it's, as Stephen King said, you know, if you're not drinking to get drunk, why not just have a Coke? I mean, clearly, that's the point, is to become intoxicated and to lose control of yourself to some degree. On the other hand, this does raise an interesting point where, which we all know is a little bit of BS, but at the same time is, I guess, the law is the law. Where, you know, there's that thing at a bar where you're not allowed to knowingly serve alcohol to an already intoxicated person, which is one of those things that's on the laws in a lot of states, and you just wonder what is up with that. Like, what is why does that exist? Who is that supposed to be protecting from what? Because that doesn't really benefit anybody. You know, it doesn't benefit the bars. It doesn't benefit the customers. It doesn't really do any good. Who is that supposed to be protecting from what there?
I think it just benefits law enforcement that they have yet one more person that they can charge with something.
Well, but that doesn't benefit law enforcement because they're not making any money on that. It's not like you pay a fine for it. I mean, if you're a bartender, in other words, that's not like speeding traps. That benefits law enforcement because it's a revenue generator. That's just more paperwork and doesn't benefit anybody. That doesn't benefit cops, anyone. So I wonder exactly who is supposed to be benefiting from that law. I mean, even if we...
Killjoys. That's who benefits from it.
But, you know, like...
Buzzkills and...
Ne'er-do-wells.
And weak sisters.
But, you know, like, even if we don't think that it... Even if we think that it's a bit of a front, at least they will lie to you and they'll say, well, this law is there to protect so-and-so. You know, children, frequently. Even if you just say, well, that's obviously a load of crap. They say, yes, but it's the load of crap that we're sticking with. I don't even know what the purported point of that law is.
I would imagine it's simply to act as some sort of a deterrent to try and get bartenders to think it, about...
Is this so the state can go, well, we did our part.
Yeah, basically. No. Yeah. Okay, where am I here?
No one knows.
No? No one?
No one.
Oh. Police say a man armed with a large knife beheaded an 18-year-old woman at her school in front of her horrified classmates in eastern India. The attacker later told police he was in love with the victim, but her parents wouldn't allow them to marry. Police official Pravin Kumar Singh said Thursday that officers arrested Bajendra Kumar on suspicion of killing Kushbu, who only uses one name. He allegedly attacked her in a with a ceremonial curved weapon called a kukri as she was leaving her classroom Wednesday in the eastern city of Ranchi. Authorities say the blade sliced her head off and she died instantly. Kumar was quickly mobbed by the other students and handed over to police. Singh said Kumar told the police he had also intended to kill himself.
Okay.
So, I've had some bad...
Where was this at?
India. Business tycoon Donald Trump gave another I might be running for president speech to Republicans at a gathering Thursday night in Las Vegas. He conceded the winning could be difficult.
You know, there's a real good chance no matter what happens, I won't win because, you know, one of these blood-sucking politicians who's been bullshitting people for years will end up, you know, getting elected.
Yeah. Oh, that's a glorious time to be alive.
There is a good chance of that, sir. A very good chance of that.
Are you implying that? Are you implying that his chances might be slim?
Yes.
You know, we elected
and I am also saying that I believe his assessment of whoever will be elected is probably true.
You know that we elected like a professional wrestler to be, elected Dirty Harry to be the mayor of Carmel.
Yeah.
You know, and there's that guy that was president who was also like just a cowboy actor.
Yeah.
Also, he was the governor of your state of Florida.
Mm.
So, I'm just saying,
all right.
The idea that somehow Donald Trump, who, by the way, is not an actor or a professional wrestler, is therefore incapable of being elected president by this group of idiots.
I was really more agreeing with his assessment of his competition.
Yeah.
He said he would get tough with China economically.
China's going to eclipse us in 4 years. Now, under the Trump doctrine, that doesn't happen.
Oh, that's awesome. That he's got a Trump doctrine.
Yeah, Trump doctrine.
I want to donate. I can't donate to his campaign yet because it doesn't really exist, right? He isn't formally declared.
I don't think he needs the money.
I'm telling you, just as a show of support, I will kick in money like the instant he declares for president. Somebody's saying he and Rod Blagojevich should run together. Oh, please let it be so. Would that it could happen.
The hair party.
That's the thing that would... who was it that was said?
Throw their hair into the ring.
I think Laura was actually noting, she said, you know, that this is just, she's like, this is just going to render us, we're just going to be like the Arnold Horseshacks of the entire world. Just, you know, just a bunch of boobs at the front of the classroom who have no, you know, just desperately want to be involved and have no idea what they're doing.
How come every 4 years they just elect a bozo?
Seriously.
Why do they do that?
President Camacho is on the horizon.
He said, I would vote for The Rock. By the way, I saw an interview with him this morning about his Fast and the Furious thing, and he was talking to this this interviewer lady, and he was sitting there in a tank top and with his big old muscle, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson arms, and she made some mention about how he put on some weight and he seemed to be pumped up, and he's like, yeah, he goes, you want to touch it?
Yeah.
And she kind of giggled. He goes, go ahead, touch it. There's the magic right there. Touch the magic.
Awesome.
he's delightful.
I think it was somebody not unlike him who was actually talking about running for office recently. And I forget who it was. It wasn't Dwayne Johnson, but it was a guy. It was like Chuck Norris or somebody who was just who was talking about running for Congress. And you kind of go like, why not? Like, seriously,
sure.
How much worse could they screw things up? I mean, did the government come within like a hair's breadth of actually just closing like 2 weeks ago? So, I mean, really, if you're just running the joint to the brink of like, everything must go, we've lost our lease,
Hey, Italy had a porn star in parliament.
That's
why the hell not?
That I'm saying.
Trump also said he'd be willing to make personal financial sacrifices to run for office.
I had to give a lot of stuff up. But you know what? It's peanuts compared to the importance of this country.
Someone back there just go, peanuts!
I had to give a lot of stuff up. But you know what? It's peanuts compared to the importance of this country.
We were told there would be snacks.
Thank you. Thank you guys shouting random words from what I'm saying.
Wonderful.
Let's do some science.
Here's your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more about them at squireselectric.com. You can call 503-252-1616. 503-252-1609. 1609, or you can go to facebook.com/SquiresElectric to see examples of their handiwork and to see examples of the things that might require their attendance to your house and their assistance, such as if you're the guy who put a nail gun through through the wiring in his wall, or the guy who wasn't the nail gun. What was the other guy? He just flat out cut through something.
Yeah, I think he just cut into the wall and didn't bother to see where the wires were first.
Well, that's for amateurs, yeah. Don. That's for lesser men. You know, it's the path of bravery that just cuts right through your sheetrock with a skill saw and then never bothering to check where the actual high voltage lines are placed. So if you find to your horror, or perhaps if your family's found to their horror, that you are that guy.
Or to your neighbor's delight.
Yes. You want to contact Squires Electric at 503-252-1609 or SquiresElectric.com or Facebook.com/SquiresElectric. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. Call them now! Squires Electric.
NASA officials have delayed the launch of the Endeavour shuttle by at least 48 hours due to technical problems. NASA statement, shuttle launch director Mike Leinbach has scrubbed today's STS-134 launch attempt because of an issue associated with auxiliary power unit 1 heaters. There will be at least a 48-hour scrub turnaround while engineers assess the issue. NASA television will air a news conference later this afternoon. Former astronaut Michael Full has been in this situation before and doubts the shuttle crew is all that disappointed.
I can say, hey, another day in Florida. And it's a good deal. Being in training is always a good deal. Actually, the saddest time is when the mission is over. So this is just prolonging their enjoyment.
I guess there's probably something there. If you assume that after you come back from outer space, everything is sort of dull and grayscale for a while, probably every moment that you're spent just going, I'm about to go into outer space, doll.
I'm an astronaut.
That's really, I mean, it's, you know, no. Next week, me and the boys will be lifting off.
In fact, that's probably the best part, particularly if you're single and trying to get laid. You're an astronaut, but you have yet to be in any actual danger.
Yeah, and it's like you're not sitting on top of a giant cannon.
No, you just get to hang out in Florida going, oh yeah, oh ladies, I'm an astronaut.
I may not be here tomorrow. I'm shipping out for the moon.
NASA's George Diller says the problems with their auxiliary power units turned out to be more serious than they first thought.
There is not a way to do the kind of troubleshooting that we need to do and still be able to stay in a countdown configuration.
But that guy was real dull.
Mm.
All right. Yeah,
he's not an astronaut.
No, I was going to say that he's... No.
No. No. A day after the long-awaited white iPhone 4 hit stores, web chatter was focused on the fact that it appears to be a bit thicker than the 10-month-old black model. The blog Wired.com measured the difference at 0.2 millimeters.
Usually it's your black models that are thicker.
Sasquatch.
Okay, see, that's you who said that.
I had to do that because we had a racist.
Why do you got
to
instigate?
We got a racist issue earlier, so I just had to say that. I'm
a terrible person.
I am a terrible person. For most people, they believe that the difference in thickness of the white iPhone is not a big deal. But for some current or now former black iPhone owners, the models of tight-fitting precision cases they have been using will not fit on their new phones. Relatively big cases, however, should be fine.
Well, that's the iPhone stuff is actually made, and it's made to fit, like, so closely. There's, like, even that invisible shield, which I've got on my... And the invisible shield is very, very thin. I mean, it's basically saran wrap. And that actually increased the thickness of my phone sufficient that I actually have difficulty putting it inside hard cases.
Yeah, the leading theory is that the extra coating was needed to keep out the light, so the camera would work, which was originally the problem with the white iPhone. The aluminum antenna band around the phone's edge is no thicker than the black iPhone's, just the painted glass casing. And there's even a picture on CNN.com to show you the infinitesimal difference. But again, though, if you have like a super, super snug case that you want to use for it, it's a big enough difference that it probably won't fit.
And I guess, you know, and it doesn't really surprise me because the whole thing about the white iPhone is it was like bleeding light into the interior, which was screwing up the camera works. So I'm not surprised that they had to make it thicker to keep out the light because that was the whole reason for the delays because it couldn't take photos correctly. So, yes. You know, and also... Seriously, even for Apple fans, that's ridiculous to complain about. Just stop it. I mean, for the love of Christ.
I don't understand what the deal is with needing a white iPhone.
It's because you want it to match all your other stuff. I mean, it's a... Like my wife, for example. Now, she's not like an Apple freak. But my wife has a MacBook, and she has it's a white MacBook. And if you are a person... There's two things. One, there are probably... there are probably certain people who do buy Apple stuff just because they view it as another accessory, a fashion accessory. Now, even for those who don't do that, and I'm not one of those people, but at the same time, I do recognize the aesthetic appeal of Apple things. And so, all things being equal, I mean, you know, if you got something that actually is functional and works really well, and then you also have the added option of making it all kind of look cool and go together, then, because they've already got white iPads is the thing.
Yeah.
So if you got the white iPad, the white MacBook, and you go like, well, I either got the black or the white iPhone to choose from, I guess I'll go with a thing that sort of matches the set. I guess maybe that's the appeal. Or if you're some, you know, that it'll let you be like really like, so then you're not like some OCD freak who's got a whole bunch of white Apple stuff and then this black iPhone that just looks like, you know, then it just looks like a stain on a dinner glass. And you just, so I guess, I don't really know.
Well, thin screens for our televisions, computers, and other big display devices may soon have brilliant sharp pictures while consuming much less power, thanks to transistors that use carbon nanotubes to deliver current in a new way. It'll be at least a few years until the technology, described in the April 29th issue of Science, graces your flat screen. But eventually such displays may be cheaper, last longer, and use less energy than today's finest liquid crystal displays. The new technology employs organic light-emitting diodes, or OLEDs, tiny thin films that create light in response to electrical current. Such displays have several advantages over traditional liquid crystal displays. They aren't backlit, for example, so darkness isn't created by blocking light, but by individual diodes emitting less light. That saves energy. But making OLED displays that are much bigger than a smartphone's has been problematic. While they consume less power overall, a serious burst of current is needed to fire up each pixel. Transistors that provide this much current are bulky and take up valuable screen space. They also require elaborate, expensive construction and yield pixels that aren't uniform, a problem that grows with display size. So they are working on this at the University of Florida, using a network of carbon nanotubes to drive the current. The nanotube layer is porous, lets light through, so the transistor and the light-emitting layers can be stacked vertically instead of sitting side by side, which will save you some real estate.
I understand. Am I going to be able to watch porn in my car?
Yes. Okay. And apparently, my issue is they keep skirting over the fact that these are called organic light-emitting diodes. So are we just basically taking, like, living sea creatures from the depths of the ocean and enslaving them in our televisions?
Yes.
and making them create pixels for us?
Kill me! I hate the NFL! No!
Yes. I eat cuttlefish!
That's all the science.
All right, there goes your Science on the March for Friday, April 29th, 2011. I'm so sorry, Kyle! I gotta quit doing that. Brought to you by Squires Electric at squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609. Still to come, you got... got your entertainment news coming up later on this hour, then the Rick Emerson radio program. Next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Today, Peanuts Watch, Clown Watch, Hick Watch, Mr. Big Jim Willig in the studio also to talk about the life and work of Ms. Tracy Ullman. That is the Rick Emerson Show at rickemersonshow.com.
Just because the government suspects you have ties to terrorism doesn't mean you can't buy a gun. Nearly 250 people on the government's terror watch list purchased guns in the United States last year legally, according to the Associated Press. They were citing FBI figures that they had obtained. Those people went about it just like anyone else would, background check and all. The government can prevent people from purchasing a gun for 11 reasons, but being on the terrorism watch list isn't one of them. Convicted felons can't buy weapons, but the watch list includes people suspected of, but not necessarily convicted of, ties to terrorists. Some lawmakers, such as Senator Frank Lautenberg, a New Jersey Democrat, want to close what they call the terror gap in the nation's gun laws. But doing so won't be easy, mostly because of the fluid nature of the secret terror watch list. The AP says the list of about 450,000 people includes suspected members of Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations, terror financiers, terror recruiters, and people who attended training camps. People's names are added to and removed from the watch list every day, and most people never know that they're on it.
Awesome. So there could be, I could be on one right now. I could get one of those redacted sort of blacked out files that just has my my name in it.
Yeah.
Line through it everywhere.
This is especially hilarious, this particular story, as it comes on the heels of another story this week that there's a lawmaker who wants to require the first responders to 9/11 who are getting their medical benefits to show proof of citizenship.
Yeah, I saw that.
To prove that they're not terrorists.
Yes.
Because, you know, that's Al-Qaeda's plan.
Really?
Was to fly some airplanes into buildings, then have people pretend to be firemen and show up and save people, get emphysema, and then 10 years later try to get into a hospital.
Bleed the economy dry, Don.
That's they are crafty.
Exactly what they're going to do. It's good. They're cunning people.
They are masterminds.
No, it's it can't even be explained how cunning and crafty they are. Never mind. I don't care that much.
If a Marine spots two men in his battalion kissing off duty at a shopping mall,
it's hot.
Well, it is. It is very hot. But
especially
also,
if they're doing that little thing where you get the four photo strips for a dollar.
Also, according to new Marine policy, he should just react as if he was seeing a man and a woman.
It's hot.
Also, if he turns on the television news to see a fellow Marine dressed as a civilian and marching in a gay rights parade, he should accept that as a free right of expression.
What if he sees a fellow Marine dressed as Carol Channing and juggling guavas while being orally pleasured by a group of midgets?
I think he's supposed to just go, well, to each his own.
Excellent. All right.
Training for the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines began early this year and is expected to finish by summer's end. These are the new training policies that are preparing servicemen to serve openly with gays, ending a 17-year-old policy commonly known as Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The training is supposed to end at the end of the summer. The repeal goes into effect 60 days after the President, Defense Secretary, and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff certify that lifting the ban won't hurt the military's ability to fight. The latest round of training material asks Marines to consider their actions, their reactions to a wide range of scenarios, from seeing a member hanging around a gay bar to hearing locker room jokes from others who refuse to shower in front of gays. First of all, if you're a straight Marine and you're in a gay bar, the other guys are seeing you there, too.
Yes.
Just want to point that one out. Members of the 1st Marine Logistics Group report to class Thursday at Camp Pendleton. There is nothing wrong with hanging around a gay bar, the materials state. The officer who witnesses the loud locker room banter aimed at gays and lesbians should remind the other Marines that any discrimination or harassment is inappropriate.
What is it? The phrase, there's nothing wrong with hanging around a gay bar, is sort of interesting.
I know, they keep putting that in quotation marks,
You're
too.
Not in the gay bar.
No.
You're not walking by. You're just sort of cruising it, Pacino style.
Well, you know, you're not cruising because you're not looking.
What is
for
hanging out near a gay bar?
I think that's like, I
like waiting for the bus out front?
That's exactly it. I believe that's your bus is late and it's raining really hard and there's no bus shelter.
Uh-huh.
And the only place to get out of the rain for the next half hour is to go into the nearest bar, which turns out to be a gay bar.
Are you just reading something from like a badly written porn script? My hot water heater's broken. I guess I have to shower with you guys.
I don't know. I'm also trying to figure out under what circumstances, you know, you would be just hanging around a gay bar.
Yeah.
So I'm just,
I guess hanging out maybe is not the phrase you want to use there.
I mean, my husband told me that the only times he's ever, and I believe him because he's that kind of a guy, the only times he's actually been to a strip club since he was a younger man, before we got married, when he would have to drive back to his office at the end of the day from Vancouver, from Portland, and the bridge would be backed up and the traffic wouldn't be moving, he'd stop into the Dancing Bear.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, get a drink because
he was the only place around.
He wasn't going to be moving anyway, and yeah, it was right there.
Yeah.
So in that case, he's hanging around a strip club. So I suppose it could be the same situation. You'd be hanging around a gay bar.
You sound like you're trying to talk me into having gay sex. Sort of like a, look, I mean, You need to do it anyway. And I mean, this place is a lot closer than the place with the chicks. So I mean, what, you know, the outcome is the same. Yeah. What do you care? I mean, hey, don't think of it as a man's mouth.
I'm just saying, if you want to do that, that's okay with me. And if you want to invite me to watch.
Are you talking to me now or just to gays in general? Okay.
Okay.
Hey, remember, the green hanky means you have to pay. The brown hanky means bring a towel.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you know.
Thank you. A top-notch recruiter who opposes the new policy cannot refuse.
Is there a bottom-notch recruiter?
Yeah.
A switch-notch
recruiter?
Oh,
there is. Yeah. That's a different hanky entirely. Cannot refuse a promising applicant on grounds of sexual orientation.
You are a promising applicant.
But might be considered for another assignment, and at the discretion of the Navy Secretary, may be granted early discharge.
I'm going to have to fill out your application a little further.
All of a sudden, everything in that story sounded dirty.
Yes.
Early discharge.
Yes, it did.
All right. Okay. I need to get a hold of myself here.
Do you?
I'm all a flutter.
Yeah, yeah.
I got all this slash fic going on in my head. Some of Facebook's early investors are looking to cash out as part of their stake in the seemingly omnipresent social media company. Reuters reports that a group of state shareholders, which includes Facebook employees, is hoping to offload $1 billion worth of shares on the secondary market, a sale that, if successful, would value the company at more than $70 billion. The news service, citing unnamed sources, says the group tried and failed to share off the shares at a higher price that would have valued the company at $90 billion. That figure would have made Facebook more financially valuable than Time Warner and News Corp combined. Mark Zuckerberg and the rest of the Facebook brass have not yet approved the deal. Reuters said that it would represent one of the largest transactions of Facebook shares to date and points to a growing wariness among early-stage investors and employees who fear Facebook's growth cannot keep pace with the market valuation.
Does it mean that it's going to be consistently valued at more than it's worth?
Yes, for the time being.
Maybe. That's one of those things I kept saying about Microsoft. And Microsoft is still, I mean, that's still a stock that, you know, that you would be well-advised to be invested in, I think. But, you know, because Microsoft stock just kept, like, it just kept growing and splitting and growing and splitting. I mean, it was just huge and huge. And every quarter, Bill Gates would just say, like, it can't last. It's not going to last. Seriously. And he was always very much a err on the side of caution kind of a guy. But it did, for the longest time, I mean, the Microsoft stock was just like a hockey stick. I mean, it just went up and up and up because Microsoft was, and still is to some degree, in effect, a utility, just like Facebook is. So, yeah.
Apple has been all over the place, and I kind of wonder about how many people there are that managed to stick with it.
It still trends upward, though.
But, I mean, through the lean years, if there are people who have held on to Apple stock from the very beginning, and you know there are going to be those people, and they're like going, hoo-hoo!
Probably.
Suck it, people who sold off when Apple II failed.
Yeah, that's why, like, you know, like with things like the so-called, you know, like the whole antenna gate thing, or like when Jobs was stepping down one of those times, and he was, I'm unclear about whether he still stepped down or whether he came back or not, but it was that whole thing of like him getting out for a while because he had the pancreas thing or the liver thing, and the stock would take like a momentary dive. But it's like if you do the thing of just pulling back and like looking at Apple stock over the last like 10 years or so, I mean, those are just momentary downticks. I mean, the thing just keeps like going toward the ceiling. So, yeah, but if you'd invested in Apple in 1984 or whatever, 83, then it's like that share would be worth, you know, like $2,900 or something. I mean, just something absurd and angering. Bastards.
Teenage thieves in Manchester, England, targeting parked vans, forced open the doors of one and were confronted by special air services officers on a stakeout. The SAS surveillance team was on a nighttime counterterrorism training exercise in Manchester. A source said the lads each had a machine gun and a side pistol with live ammunition to make it realistic. They saw these scroats coming for some time.
Scroats?
Yeah, that's what the source said.
Okay.
The teenagers were trying their luck on every van in the neighborhood, looking for tools they could steal. One of the team was resting, one on standby, one log-keeping and monitoring the radio, and the fourth was watching the practice target through the scope of a sniper rifle. They didn't want to move for fear of ruining the exercise, and they hoped that the gang of teenagers would pass them by. The teenagers then broke into the van that was full of army guys who decided they would teach them a lesson if they did get into their van, and that's exactly what happened. The source said, to this day, those idiots probably still don't have any idea who they were messing with, but it hopefully made them think twice about doing it to anyone else again.
Excellent. That's deeply satisfying.
Yeah. The team's cover was blown and the exercise was canceled, but no official report was made to police to prevent the members from having to give court evidence. So, as soon as you're done opening that,
I'm ready.
We do a little entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Friday, April 29th.
Well, a couple of rich, inbred British people got married. They were Prince William and Kate Middleton were pronounced husband and wife at 11:20 a.m. local time. By nearly all accounts, and there are a lot of accounts, you can't throw a rock without hitting an account. The royal wedding extravaganza went off without a hitch. Kate did not leave William at the altar. Shockingly, Prince Harry didn't drop the rings. There was no sign of terrorists or mad bombers. The closest thing to a surprise occurred before the ceremony when news broke that Kate will not be known as Princess Catherine, as some had expected. The Guardian wrote, despite her marriage to the heir of the throne, the bride will not be known as Princess Catherine. Buckingham Palace announced that William will become the Duke of Cambridge, making Kate the Duchess of Cambridge. William will also take the titles Earl of Strathearn and Baron Carrickfergus.
Okay. Are any of these made up? Is this like a thing where one of them is fake and I have to guess?
Well, if any of them were made up, I would say it was probably Baron Carrickfergus.
I don't understand. He's the Duke of what?
He's going to be the Duke of Cambridge.
How would they not have known that?
It's an honor. It's a title that was bestowed upon him by the Queen. That was her wedding gift to them, was to give him a duchy or whatever they call it. A dukedom.
Does she just look at the map and go, who doesn't have a duke?
Pretty much.
Birmingham? No.
Actually, I think these things are just laying around up for grabs. Because I believe you can actually purchase them if you have enough money and the price is right.
That would be awesome. We should totally do that.
Because they're family things that belong to families. And if everyone in a family dies out, the title still exists.
Okay. Here's the thing. I'm just going to decide. From now on, I'm just going to be the Duke of. I'm going to be the Duke of Southeast Portland.
Because there are people who go to Scotland and buy an old castle, and in buying the old castle, they actually are getting the title of Lord with the castle.
Let's be the Duke and Duchess of Clackamas.
Okay. An early wedding present. Yes, it was an early wedding present from the groom's grandmother, the Queen. The titles have been given to mark the marriage. The title of Duke links the couple to England, Scotland, and Northern Ireland, and is the highest rank in British peerage. Over on the website Slate, Simon Doonan wondered if the elegant wedding signals the end of... I don't even want to say what it said. Of a thing.
Duke Lynx is my bondage porn name.
Brian Williams of NBC arrived in London on Thursday and then turned around and went home after learning of the deadly tornadoes that ravaged Alabama and six other states. He was back in time to anchor the evening's newscast in New York.
I wonder if he's just sitting there just going, goddamn Hicks, stupid tornadoes, could be with the Royals, stupid.
I really like Brian Williams, so I like to think he just went, oh good, I don't have to cover this now.
Maybe, but you think that'd be a pretty plum assignment. Just hanging out, you get flown to Britain, you're just hanging out there, you're at the royal thing, you get to whatever, you get to just sort of just booze it up, on the company tab in another country, and then go back home.
I guess, it depends on the person, because I was listening to NPR, and NPR does a pop culture podcast that their different pop culture editors do, and Linda Holmes was getting sent on assignment. NPR was actually footing the bill to send her over to walk around and interview people and do some stories. And they were kind of ribbing her about it because apparently she's a lot like you and I. It was sort of it involved travel and huge crowds of people. And she was just like, yeah, this is a great opportunity for me.
Yeah.
Oh, God. hey, free trip to London. Yeah. Oh, God, it's going to be hell.
You know what it is? It's like when you get to, it's like having one of those free trips to Las Vegas or Florida, but you got to go to a timeshare meeting while you're there. You got to sit in a room and a guy's got to try to peddle you swampland.
Yeah. Thousands of police officers were providing security for the British royal wedding. London Police Commissioner Paul Stevenson said it's an honor to participate.
It's a huge event.
I'm sorry. He's speaking very quiet.
It's a huge event. But, I and all the cops I'm speaking to just feel privileged to be part of something quite special.
Stevenson said the goal is to ensure everyone's safety without being obtrusive.
Our job is to make sure we provide the conditions of security so people can have the wonderful time they've come here for. And we're going to return to do it. Anybody who wants to come here to deserve it, our job is to make sure we prevent them.
That's so quaint.
Yeah.
Police that believe their job is to be unobtrusive.
Yeah.
See, here it would be guys in riot gear and on horses.
And you'd be tethered off. If you wanted to see the wedding, you'd have to do it inside, behind cyclone fencing, 9 miles away.
Right.
A guy just stood in front of you with a tear gas gun and glowered.
Yes.
And Michael Moore shouted something on a bullhorn.
January Jones, who stars as Betty Francis on the AMC drama Mad Men, is pregnant, reports People. In confirming the news to the magazine, a representative for the actress did not reveal the identity of the father, but noted that the baby, Jones' first, is due this fall. Jones stars in June's X-Men First Class, while the fifth season of Mad Men premieres in 2012.
What is she? I don't even really care about the X-Men, but what is she playing in X-Men? Do we know?
No, I have no idea. I know that the most interesting thing about January Jones, and it wouldn't take much, honestly, because she's not that interesting, a month or so back, I read that she had optioned Chelsea Kane's novel, Heartsick, because she wanted to play the beauty killer.
You didn't read that. I told you that.
You told me that?
Yeah.
I thought I read that.
Because your immediate response was, she doesn't have the depth for that.
I thought I read that. Well, see.
You might have read it subsequently. Google. I think I was the one who told you that, but it came out about a month ago, and you were immediately, you were just horrified.
I was really horrified. And then I was heartened, though, because I had told Patrick that Storm Large is...
The model
yeah. for On the Care. Well, she's, if you go to the website, who is the beauty killer? That's
we don't mean she's based on Storm Large. We mean the actual, like, physical right. representation of
and
her.
If you
yes.
go to the website, because there are websites, and there's a whole beauty killer fan yeah. site, and all the pictures are Storm Large as, I can't remember the name of the character all of a sudden, Gretchen, whatever her last name is. But I just read Chelsea Keane's most recent book in the series, the fourth one. I just read it this last week. And in the acknowledgments in the back, one of the people she thanks is Storm Large. And then in parentheses, she says, my first and only Gretchen.
Wow.
So it's kind of like...
Well, who knows? All I know of January Jones is what I've seen in Mad Men. And I've seen her interviewed, but that's not always a giveaway anyway. It's like I've seen people interviewed that just seem like they couldn't find their ass with two hands and a map. And then, you know, and then you see them in something else and they're able to really turn it on. So I don't know. I want it to be good and I want her to be good in it. I have not really seen her do anything that indicates that she's the right choice for it, but I would like to see her do well.
She was the worst guest host of Saturday Night Live since, like, Andy McDowell. I mean, she was just horrible.
See, which I don't think I saw either of those. So, yeah, I got nothing.
In stark contrast to the last time the Writers Guild of America negotiated a new contract with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, the WGA announced today that its members had overwhelmingly and very quietly ratified a new 3-year contract with the AMPTP by 90.7%. The terms run from May 2nd, 2011 through May 1st, 2014, and include increase in pension plan contributions, pay TV payments, and minimum fees. The WGA famously went on 100-day strike between November 5th, 2007 and February 12th, 2008 during the previous contract negotiation, largely over payment for new media. Less than 2 months after Katie Holmes served the publisher of Star Magazine with a $50 million libel suit for their January cover, Katie Drug Shocker, the legal wrangle has been resolved. According to a statement released today from Holmes' camp, the actress and American Media Company Incorporated have reached a settlement, which includes an apology printed in the magazine's May 9th issue and touted on the cover.
What was the... was this for saying that she was...
She was they were saying that she was on drugs.
She'd been kidnapped and she was being held and drugged and whatever, yeah.
I don't even know they said she was being kidnapped. I don't know that I just like, Katie Drug Shocker.
Yeah.
Harry Potter star Emma Watson is denying media reports that she was bullied out of Brown University. In a statement posted on her website Friday, Watson says taking a semester off from the Rhode Island University this spring had nothing to do with bullying. She said she was never bullied at Brown or anywhere else. Watson plays Hermione Granger in the Harry Potter series. She says she's not sure what her plans are for the fall semester, her third year in college. She said that, like many of her fellow Brown students, she's considering studying abroad. A Watson spokesman said last week it's possible and likely she'll spend her senior year at Brown. Media reports this month cited an anonymous Brown insider that Watson was bullied out of the school.
I instinctively disbelieve that, because you imagine at this point she could probably just have anybody killed if they crossed her. I mean, she's got like $9 jillion. Also, she's Hermione. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she could just tell a geek, you know, that guy's been picking on me. It'd be a shame if something happened to him. And I'd be really, really grateful to whoever made that problem go away. And, oh, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, she just goes down to the computer lab and tells them what a hard time she's having.
And if you want to have some guys, you know, disappeared for you and you want the job done right, you ask some nerds to do it. Mm-hmm. They'll make sure there's not a trace of that guy. They'll never find anything. We got like time for one short story here, if you guys
want. Okay, well, here we go. Well, that's all the entertainment. So we'll finish with a non-music one. A quick-thinking woman in Florida saved herself from becoming a victim. The 23-year-old said that a man named Daniel Alberto Barros pulled up behind her on Friday night, flashed red and blue lights, and showed her a badge and tried to get her to pull over. She immediately got on the phone and called her stepfather, who is actually a police officer. He met her and the fellow in the police car behind her at a Southwest Miami-Dade gas station, which propelled Barros to make a run for it. He was arrested a short distance away and charged with impersonating an officer. The badge he showed her was real. His brother is actually a police officer. And the unmarked BMW also belongs to his brother.
Oh, he chose poorly. On that note, we will do this. Which is to end this installment of Legion of News for Friday, April 29th, 2011. Don't forget, it's available later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here at legionofnews.com or cascadia.com. FM. You can also take it with you on your mobile device. It is mobile.cascadia.fm. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program comes your way, including a Penis Watch, Clom Watch, Hick Watch, Mr. Big Jim Willig, and more. That is all coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Or you. Yes, you. Yes, you too. And also you. And you as well. But not you. Can be entertained for just 32 cents a day. That is at rickemersonshow.com. At the news desk, Don Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic, provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer Bruce Agler, Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. And we thank you for listening. Have a safe weekend. We will see you Monday at noon for another exciting installment of Legion of News.